Right, can I have a copy?
Yeah, well, I'll post it online. So this is DJ Chuang, and our second Asian American Emergent Skype cast. And on the line, we have Ben Pun in Houston.
Howdy.
Hello.
We have David Park in Atlanta.
Hello.
And then we have Sivan Kit all the way from Malaysia, halfway around the world.
Hello, Sivan Kit here.
All right, and this is our second call. We have a couple of repeats and a newcomer. Thank you for joining us, Sivan. What time is it over there in Malaysia?
It's 9:05 a.m.
Wow.
Monday morning,
and I'm not working, yes. It's my Sabbath.
Very nice.
This is work, right?
I'm not working. I work on Sundays only, right? I'm a pastor. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, Sivan, some of us may not know about your blog and your participation in Emergent. So if you would introduce yourself, and then I'll ask Ben and David to also share just 30 seconds about yourself as well.
Okay, Sivan. Okay, my blog is... Yeah. Okay, my blog is sivinkit, sivinkit.net, and my participation in Emergent, I think, has mainly been through reading some of the books, specifically Brian McLaren books, and also blogging about it, reading the blogs, and having some email conversations with some people like Brian, Jason Clark, specifically in the UK. And also I met Tony Jones once in Singapore. So that's some more personal parts of the conversation here and there. Yeah.
Very good, Sivan. Thank you for joining us. And Sivan also holds the distinction from the Emergent village people to say that we have a presence as in Asia. So when Emergent village... say they have a presence in Asia, they're usually referring to Sivan.
I'm a very small presence.
Asia sounds pretty big, so there you go.
Yeah, I remember, I told Jason it's just Malaysia for now. Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Ben, 30-second intro, please.
Oh, can I just ask Sivan? So, Sivan, you're a pastor of a church in Malaysia, is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, cool. Yeah, just for me, I'm a youth pastor here in Houston of a Chinese, it's called Chinese Baptist Church in Houston. I've been doing it for about 3 years. I'm a young guy. But my experience with Emergent is just probably... I started through youth specialties, going to a lot of youth pastor conferences, and there's a lot of Emergent authors and thought through youth specialties, and I started reading a lot of books and just being very interested in it and trying to be missional to my generation of the youth kind of stuff. So that's about it.
Very good. Thank you, Ben. David?
Yes, I'm David Park, and my blog is dpark.wordpress.com or Next Generation Church. And similarly, I became familiar with Emergent through books and DJ and trying to realize why that there's this kind of disconnect between churches that aren't Asian American and kind of interacting with them in that sphere for a while, and then becoming involved with the very small Korean youth ministry about 2.5 years ago, and finding out that a lot of these things aren't being discussed, and that was kind of very different from the things that I've seen in some other mainstream churches or the questions that were being brought up. So that's how I got in, I guess. Yeah.
All right, and my name's DJ Chuang, and I've been part of this Emergent conversation since near the beginning when there was a large gathering in Glorieta in 98 with about 500 ministry leaders and church leaders. Back then they called it postmodern or Gen X, but it became emergent over the years. And the last 3 years I attended Brian McLaren's church, Cedar Ridge Community Church, so he's one of the leading voices of emergent, and I've been to a few conventions. As well as
maybe I should add that whenever I see the Chinese face in emergent event pictures, I know that's DJ Chuang.
It might be. There's one other Asian face that does show up. And,
yeah, but I think that's, I'm quite sure it's you. And there's one more thing, probably I didn't mention that I'm a pastor of a Lutheran church, and this church was started 6 years ago, and that's when I started thinking about some of the questions that seemed to converge and was raised by some emergent authors, etc. Yeah.
So what's your target group in Malaysia?
In Malaysia? When we started, we didn't really kind of have this idea of a
target group. I think I was very much trying to figure out what it means again to be a church,
being a pastor. I was a youth pastor for 3.5 years and a worship pastor, etc.
Everything thrown in, you know, as the associate. But as my bishop said, you want to do something with your life before you turn
30,
I said, why not? So at 29 years old, a group of
young adults, it's mainly young adults, restarted this church in Bangsa. So most of us here in the church right now, currently after 6 years, are in the age range of 20 to maybe 35, 40 years old. There's about 60 of us right now coming together.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's where we are. So people see us as a young adult church, even though we never really targeted that way.
Yeah.
Over in Malaysia, does do the books that we publish here in the U.S. Affect the readership and what's happening in your church over there?
You're referring to Zondervan YS books, for example?
Yes, for example. Since we're
to
talking
be honest,
emergent,
I,
you know, is it
sure,
still
emergent? Brian McLaren related.
Right, is it still mostly a church leaders kind of thing, or is it affecting the average person?
There's not. When I ask around, I think I feel like I'm quite a minority in terms of those who actually buy and read stuff written by Brian McLaren or emergent YS books. It's becoming a little bit more popular, but we can get it at a secular bookstore or a Christian bookstore. But it's not selling as fast as, let's say, Purpose Driven Life. Yeah.
Or even Tim LaHaye's Left Behind
series, you know. So it's not that
popular. But we can get in here, some of it. Yeah.
Very good. Well, let's jump into. Hi, I hear another voice. Who is that?
This is Peter Ong. I'm not on the list for some reason, but I'm here.
All right, Peter. Thanks for joining us. Would you give us 30 seconds?
Hi, Peter.
30 seconds. I am currently living in Syracuse. I ran a youth ministry in New York City for about 6 years, and I just started a new project called the Asian American Lady Project with the Pastoral Lady Ministry, which is focusing on developing leadership within the Asian American laity. So this is where I am now. I'm particularly interested in dealing with a lot of disconnect that seems to happen in the Asian church, and I feel that the emergent movement has a very similar direction in terms of dealing with some of the people that are disconnected with the church and being relevant. So really interested in some of the strategies and discussing some of the things that we can do and to adopt a lot of what the emergent is doing to create kind of restoration for a lot of people that are disconnected with the Asian church. So that's where I am.
Very good. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you.
Hey, Peter.
Thank you.
Hey, Ben. Is that Ben? Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
And so, Ben, nice to hear a Malaysian voice.
Hi.
Okay, well, let's jump into our conversation for tonight.
Yeah.
I shared a link to the Scott McKnight article about the emerging church movement, and I wanted to get your reaction on the article as you read it. Anybody can jump
okay, who's
in.
Going
breaking up a little bit? Hello?
I just want to say that's not me this time.
I think it's probably DJ.
Is he off?
Can you hear us, DJ?
I can hear you fine.
Oh, maybe it's Peter.
Okay. Okay.
What is it?
So who wants to go first? I'm here to listen. Who's going first?
I'll go.
Okay.
Yeah, I just read that Scott McKnight article today, and I thought it was pretty right on. I think it really described, it's probably the best description of this movement that I've read that was pretty thorough. And I also really liked the the potential problems too. I was pretty in agreement with the potential problems, but I think it was pretty great.
All right.
I agree with you, Sivan here. Scott was kind enough to send me this article before it was published, but somehow my name got edited out of it, I think. Overall, I felt, even if it was not describing emerging church movement in wherever in the States or whatever, it did describe some of the things that I was thinking about, you know, especially how to do church in our current context. I guess that was the main thing that got me started in church planting anyway. And I really felt that the way he described it was very sympathetic, and I appreciated the potential problems as well. My immediate feeling on it.
I thought it was a good start to a lot of summation of some of the things. I'm still trying to work out in my own heart, and my understanding is you know, the emerging movement or the church a kind of monolithic thing, and it's kind of organized. And you know, I've been talking to a couple of church planters in New York City, and they're all kind of, you know, talking about the emerging movement, and but I'm not really sure if, you know, it's not necessarily a denomination. And I had a conversation with Dave Park, and he said, you know, what Malcolm McLaren said is more of a conversation. So, you know, I get a little bit uneasy when I hear all these articles about the emerging church movement and not really, I'm trying to make it clear to myself what that all means. Is it a conversation? Is it denominational? Is it a reformation? So I think there's a lot of kind of questions that I have, and I'd like how you kind of summarily were able to capture a lot of what my understanding was the EM is, but not really getting a sense again of the monolithic picture of what the EM is and how does it play out. So that's kind of where I am with that.
Yeah, this is DJ, and I find the...
Hello?
This is DJ.
Yeah, I'm listening.
And
oh,
I find the term conversation to be most helpful because it
maybe
is...
just a quick chip in from Malaysia here again on the denomination thing. You know, if the emergent conversation or movement was defined as moving a denominational direction, I wouldn't be interested in it. You know, because that was not the drawing factor for me. Because for me, it was really a safe space to explore ideas and to share. So I was sometimes people ask me, is emergent a new denomination? I would say no, at least in our conversation here in Malaysia. It all started with a bunch of friends sitting down, talking about some probably frustrations with the way church is, the disconnect that we feel specifically for younger people towards established church practices or church leadership or the way Christianity is being presented. So it wasn't so much about we're organizing ourselves, you know, to be some kind of movement, but it's more like, you know, sitting down together and, oh, I realize you like to read about N.T. Wright, or, oh, you read the Brian McLaren book, or that as far as some reading is concerned. And then on the other end, it's just sharing some of the questions that we may feel have not really been explored from our end, you know. So that's the way I see it. I like the word conversation. I have no problem with it. And even if it's called a movement, I'm a bit jittery when it comes to things like that, because, for example, in Malaysia, some of us have been asked to sit with a research commission group just to have a chit-chat, and they thought that we were part of this big movement that is coming to Malaysia. And we just told them we were just having some conversations at my church or over tea or over coffee, and half of the time we're not too sure the exact details in terms of moving ahead. We just know that we have questions and we are trying to work things out. You know, that's where I am at this point. But I enjoy it, the chance, because of the internet, that this can become a global conversation too. That's the fun of it. That's why we're here. Thanks, DJ, again, to you.
Thank you, Sivan. And yeah, I'm more comfortable with the word conversation as well. I'm amazed to hear how things are happening in Malaysia, because that is very much the same kind of story I hear when I'm around the emergent people, that they're just creating a safe place where people from different denominations and very different church traditions can come together to talk about their faith and what that means in today's culture. So I'm told that there's some animosity and some fear between evangelicals and mainline denominations and some of the more liberal traditions and even Catholic. And so to have emergent to be able to create somewhat of a safe place where people can talk about how to do church and how the church can be a better witness and provide an impact and do things that would be good for the world and society is a pretty important thing. If I can shift our conversation towards how do you think this impacts the issues of the Asian American church?
I think what I said earlier, this is Peter, by the way, you know, reading the Silent Exodus and kind of understanding the second and third generation of Asian American youth or young adults are fleeing the church. You know, the statistics are staggering. We're talking about 87% of Asian Americans that were church kids will not go back to church after college. So I definitely feel that, you know, there's an open invitation for us to kind of engage to this disconnected generation. And one of the concerns and some of the issues that the emerging church is bringing up, which is very similar, is this disconnect with this post-church kind of and understand, and how do they connect again with what church life is. So I think within the Asian American church, I think we are almost in a time delay where we might miss out a whole generation of people of being part of the church. And well, I don't even know what the third generation is going to look like in terms of how we're going to reach them when we're losing a whole second generation of people to serve the church and be involved in church life. So I'm really kind of at a desperate end and trying to understand how, and that's why I'm very excited about the emerging church movement, because I feel like there is this kind of commonality that they're recognizing there's this disconnect with a lot of people that are leaving. But on the other hand, they're trying to find strategic ways to have conversations to bring these people back. And I'm not sure what that looks like. And I think people are experimenting with different things. That's where I really see where the emerging conversation can be really kind of valid and valuable, because I think they're addressing the kind of the disconnect of the people that are that have either been through church or just, you know, into a new generation of Asian Americans just, you know, are just like, you know, the old stuff just doesn't work for me anymore.
Yeah, I'd really agree with Peter there. Need is just as great, if not greater, in the Asian American church. Drop out of young people. But also add that I think that in the Asian American context, there are some cultural distinctives that are different from the majority of this conversation. Like, I just some things that come to mind are that I think Asian Americans are generally more rational in their thinking than most white young Americans. I think also Asian Americans are less confrontational. So I think that affects the way it plays out in Asian American context. And just a few little nuances. And just for instance, I've had some conversations with other young Asian American youth pastors or whatnot, and we're also aware of this emergent conversation. And we all kind of agreed that, you know, this is a really good conversation, but there, you know, something just a little bit different doesn't work. Like some of these emerging churches you see are really great, but they don't really reach out to some Asian Americans that we know. Or like, you know, I mean, like a lot of Asian, like for instance in Texas, a lot of young Asian Americans are in Austin, and I know Gideon Sang has a great emerging type ministry. And actually, there's a lot of kids, college kids, that come from other Chinese churches around here, and we kind of realized that a lot of kids actually aren't attracted to Gideon's church, and it just didn't seem, maybe it was like a certain niche that maybe some Asian Americans or other people didn't fit into. So there's just some issues in my head. I think there's just some distinctives between different contexts.
This is David. I think that this, you hit on some really good points there, Ben, because I do think that it's about time we started to deconstruct the notion of what it means for the Asian American church to bring up some of these issues of relevance and really questioning how our culture fits into our faith, how those two intersect, and how they will perpetuate one another if indeed there is a strong correlation between our culture and maintaining a cultural church. And I agree that with postmodernity being an issue, especially trying to reach them in the second generation here doing youth ministry, I felt firsthand that there is going to be a need to hear that voice to bring up these questions, because everything else in every other arena of their lives, there should be some sort of analysis or introspection. Just because I don't think the church can afford not to bring up these questions. And you're absolutely right. We might have to kind of subspecialize into reaching traditionally kind of groomed Asian American Christians who think in a traditional modern mindset, or might be kind of wrestling with those issues. And then I think there's a great subset of Asian Americans who are very predisposed to postmodern behavior, and their identity construction has been around a very postmodern mindset. But I think that somebody, and I think the emerging conversation is brilliantly poised to reach those people that the traditional church cannot. I think that we as well as Asian Americans have a responsibility to bring up these questions for our churches to expand that discussion and speak up for people that are leaving the traditional Asian American church and have no road back.
To follow up on that, do you think it's necessary for the Asian church to have these conversations about culture and contextualization, or would it be okay to just have the church experiment with some new things?
Oh, this is David again. If you're asking me, I think it's absolutely necessary that they discuss things like culture and contextualization. I think that the experimentation should take place in that, and hopefully it will be reflective of some of these notions of asking the question of context and presentation. That's very different, because I don't think I think that if you look at the presentation of many Asian American churches, I would say that they're pretty similar. I'd say that the deviation between one church to another in presentation would be pretty slim. What we're looking for,
I think, as emerging is to reach people
that need a different presentation of the same gospel, to see how wide the gospel can be stretched, not theologically, of course, but in terms of presentation and being able to reach new different modes, whether it's different arenas, whether it's music, politics, education, government, arts, that kind of thing.
This is Ben. I'll just say that I think you can do both. I think you can discuss it and also experiment. I think they kind of go hand in hand, like kind of experiment with stuff without talking about why you're experimenting with it and thinking it out. I think that could have some backlash. Same thing, all you do is just sit around and talk about it, but don't do anything. I think that would be kind of ineffective too. So I think you should do both.
Yeah, the question behind the question is, it may be hard to get conversation and dialogue going because traditionally Asian culture is rather hierarchical and they look for the authoritative voice. And what this emerging conversation postmodern culture values is more of a egalitarian and everyone has an equal voice kind of approach. How do you navigate that?
While you're thinking
about that, we have two new callers that joined in, and they might just listen in or chime in. Tian Zhuang and Tim Chen Liu. Would you guys say hello?
I don't think Tian Zhuang can. He doesn't have a mic, so...
Okay, that's fine. You can listen in. How about Tim Liu? Do you want to say hello? Well, thank you for listening in. But while we're thinking about that, how can we use some of these emergent things in our Asian American context?
Would it be right for me to ask that
the questions that are being raised at least are useful for us to just get us thinking?
Even though the answers may not be the same, that seems to be what I'm hearing. And I'm just wondering, there's a question that came to my mind. Are there many older pastors that are open to not to say many, are there people that are already open in bringing this discussion up to the more mainstream of leadership in America for Asian American churches so far?
I think for the Chinese church, it's been a difficult wrestle. I think we, to a certain extent, to survive, have held on to certain notions of Confucianism and a lot of our cultural baggage that comes into the ministry that doesn't allow for a lot of the English ministries to thrive. And on the other hand, I think the English ministry has really contributed to a lot of that tension as well in terms of looking at the first generation backward or unbiblical. So I think there's a lot of tension. I know for New York City, we've in the last year or so we've lost three pastors who've resigned from the pastorate just because of the issues that they have with the senior pastors and their first generation overseas born. I myself worked in a Chinese ministry where I worked in a pretty very OBC style of management. And I think one of the things that I felt that was really important to engage. We were talking about the emerging church movement is
to really find value in trying to be missional towards each other
and the leadership in the first generation. And I find a lot of the conversation, the rhetoric, hasn't really leaned towards that. There's been a kind of, you're either on my side or you're not on anyone's side. But I think that's really valuable for this conversation to happen. I think there's a lot of healing that needs to happen. But I think there has to be kind of this mutual humility that has to be approached that only I think God can kind of minister to. And unfortunately, I think a lot of the second generation, we have to kind of take the first step and kind of swallow a lot of things so that we can ourselves be missional towards our leadership and trying to help them trust and understand. And kind of what DJ said about being authoritative and kind of having a steam for that. So for myself, I had to be very Chinese in a lot of ways of doing things in order to get, have my voice heard.
But finding that it was bringing value and healing as well.
And kind of things that I stood for and things I didn't want to stand for was really valuable. But there's things I had to eat that I wasn't really prepared to. So I definitely think in the United States, there's a huge problem with the Chinese church that needs to be addressed, because we're losing a lot of people in ministry, especially this generation of young people who are so disconnected to this parallel ministry of second generation churches and, you know, under the supervision of the first generation.
Yeah, those are really great points, Peter. I just also in response to DJ's question about how this emerging conversation plays out in Asian American churches. I think some of the things that were discussed, like in, for instance, Scott McKnight's article, I mean, we could still be doing an Asian American church. Like, for instance, this idea of the kingdom of God being more emphasized in our churches and our teaching. Doing more things concerned with social justice. That's something I think is lacking in a lot of Asian churches. I think there are several reasons for that. But, I mean, I think if you want to reach the next generation, there's got to be some kind of some justice missions in there. And then other things I thought about were, like, you know, just how we look at discipleship and spiritual formation. It's a little different, you know. And the way we preach, using more narratives and stories, I think that works in the Asian American church too. And then last thing I thought about was just like culture. You know, I mean, the way we look at popular culture. I know young Asian Americans are just as in tune with popular culture as other young Americans are. So using culture, like Paul used examples in Athens and Acts, Marcel, and that kind of stuff. I mean, we could still do that in Asian American context. So those are just a couple of things I thought about that kind of apply in a similar fashion to the Asian American context.
So Ben, how was that received in your church? And I mean, I think the question was, is, you know, in terms of like getting involved in this emerging conversation and moving towards a direction of conversation, you know, how is that supported or in a lot of ways, you know, what the Malaysian pastor shared was almost like this antagonism because they don't know what's going on and thinking that this is a movement that will kind of shake up a lot of things. Or even worse, they think it's something that's liberal.
Well, I'll just respond real quick. I'll let other people talk after this. But I think there does have to be a lot of humble conversation, as like you were kind of talking about, where we humbly come before previous generations and try to kind of point out some stuff, like from the scriptures, you know, like from of God, throughout the gospel, Jesus teaching, you know. I think we could really just talk about that with the previous generation. What are the implications of that? And it needs to be balanced as well. We need to hear their criticisms, and I think in general, a previous generation, especially in Asian churches, are pretty much very conservative theologically. So there just needs to be humble conversation. And I think there are a good number of older leaders who will be open to that.
I just want to agree with, sorry, don't know who said what, at least the part on the conversation bit, because I think one of the values that I appreciated even on the other side of the globe was the fact that we could have a safe place. And I think in many, even churches in Malaysia, many young people or young adults have many questions and they may be afraid that they can't ask these questions or they'll be put down. or even leaders, younger Christian leaders, are asking important questions. Because on the second part, in terms of experimentation, in Malaysia, I think generally there's some freedom to experiment ways of doing church. As I was sharing to DJ earlier, it's quite a mix in Malaysia. There's more openness for trying new things in terms of methods. But sometimes maybe we need to spend a little time as well to allow the questions to be raised so that it can deepen our understanding of even why we are using certain methods. Because sometimes in Asia, we get exported with 101 things, usually from either the States, most of the time from the United States. And some churches might assume this is the next big thing for us. And that takes us in the direction that makes us less self-reflective, I think, in my own context. But the whole idea of raising a conversation is very attractive. And the other thing I was thinking about was more in relating to older leaders or leaders whom sometimes young adults would feel as very conservative. Like just last week, I was at a conference doing some workshops, just speaking with a more senior pastor, probably his age would be near 60. It seems that he has similar concerns with us, the younger pastors, but we use different language to understand the context. And like he said, for example, the fact that he got some of his younger pastors to come is that he outsourced, you know, what he perceived as specialists in certain areas. And for some of us, like at least for me, using the word outsource is a very business model in looking at the church. But one thing I appreciate what Scott was talking about was this conversation starts off a lot in terms of ecclesiology. It's about the church. And for me, it was important that I didn't want to see the church as a corporate company-driven kind of body. I wanted to see it more in terms of relationship, family, and friends. That's just some thoughts that come up.
Yeah, it's very good. I think I found that by having a conversational framework, it helps us to learn the different languages that we use in our particular context, or even our own generation or denomination. So. There is a lot of listening and learning to grow the church and get a sense of where God's leading.
You guys hear that mumbling?
Yeah.
We've got a lot of people on this call, so my mute button is not working, so I can't selectively mute people.
How many of you in the States, as Asian American pastors, or engage in this conversation, sometimes feel that like you need to learn to live in different worlds, talk different languages to different people, and not in the sense of being dishonest, but you know, it's like the fact of being multilingual or bilingual in terms of the way we talk about ministry. Is that how you feel?
I took it upon myself to learn Chinese during my 6 years there, just so that I can, when I was in meetings, I kind of understood what they were gossiping about me. So that was really valuable for me to do that. I do find that there was a tension, because I feel like there's so many things that are happening around me in terms of just conversations and even vocabulary in itself. I think, you know, I'm helping out with university now, and some of the vocabulary that's coming out of the campuses are just, you know, mind-blowing how things are changing so quickly. And I feel like, you know, I'm engaging in two worlds within a structure that, you know, especially within a Chinese church, you know, you have a structure that is very conservative, very first generation, very mainland, you know, mainland China, motherland kind of culture, and then you're kind of engaging with these youth or young people in another culture, and you're trying to bridge the two, and also looking forward and being forward-thinking. It presents a lot of challenges, but I have to say that the challenges are pretty exciting, and it's exciting to see what God is doing in kind of, you know, in our information age, where things are just moving so quickly, and the culture is just changing so quickly, and I'm trying to find ways to exploit that in a way that I think the gospel can be relevant. But it is a challenge because I feel like I'm in a culture and a time warp at times in terms of what's happening around this nation and what God is bringing to the young people. So it's a real challenge to negotiate in a lot of different identities and structures. It'd be a political or management. It's just a lot of structures to deal with.
Well, we're coming up on the last 15 minutes, and if I may be so bold to breach the racial question, Emergent has been characterized and from the attendance at various events as largely a upper middle class, mostly white kind of a conversation, and that may appear a little bit racist or a little too white. So what is Emergent missing by not having more visible Asian Americans? Or to say another way, what is it that we can contribute to where that conversation is going?
If I could follow up on that, like, do you guys see, well, why do you guys think that it hasn't caught on as much with Asian Americans? Or do you think it's just because there are less of us, it's just going to come later that we're going to get involved in this conversation? Or is there some reason that Asian Americans tend to shy away from the conversation or not agree with it? Or...
I'll give you 2 points of reference. This is DJ. I've invited some of my non-white friends, including African-Americans, Latinos, as well as Asian pastor friends, to some Emergent events. And the main feedback I get from them is that the Emergent church conversation is too intellectual and too philosophical. And the preferences of my ethnic friends would be to have something more pragmatic and more practical along the lines of methodology. And the conferences tend to elevate conversation to kind of the metaphysical and the philosophical assumptions of the postmodern Derrida and Foucault and whoever else. And the other data point is when I talk with my old seminary friends who are doing ministry in various Asian church contexts, they have a lot of theological concerns about why Emergent seems to be rather liberal or unformed and questioning the place of scripture and the place of the church and so on and so on. So those are two reference points that I've gotten, feedback that I've heard from people that have tried to engage Emergent and just find it not helpful.
I think from my point of view, okay, go ahead. Who's that? Yeah.
No, I think Simon was speaking.
Okay, I'll go ahead and jump in. I 6 years ago, I didn't know who was Derrida, Foucault, and all these
big names. And actually, the initiation to the conversation was
Brian McLaren's book, previously published as Reinventing the Church. Because 6 years ago, I had a chance to plant a church, so it's more of asking those questions more than the philosophical ones. So it was really birthed out of figuring out how to do church and asking missional questions. And I feel that perhaps the contribution of Asians or Asian Americans or those who are non-white could be more in that arena. Because I was thinking more like a missionary in my own context, which is majority Muslim, majority non-Christian. And Christians are probably about 9% or 10% of the population. So I'm asking questions like that. So maybe that would be one area I think would be very useful. Because in many ways, the whole globally, the church is beginning to see ourselves, I think, accurately as a missionary church. Even the Roman Catholic Church has been talking about this for years, since Vatican II. So I feel that would be one important contribution. Because even in Malaysia, some of my friends would say, you know, what you guys are talking about sometimes can appear very philosophical, very over-intellectual, and let's get the job done, you know. I'm more simple. So I wonder whether it's more because of the language that we use, sometimes bringing it to a level that more people can be included. So that's just my immediate reaction to what DJ was asking. I've never been to an emergent convention at all, but I've spoken with Jason Clark, for example, in UK, and I found that the interaction between him as someone in Britain, in England, and me in Malaysia, Asia, was a very fruitful one for the short visit that we had. And I think, I guess in the US, that will be great as well.
I guess in New York City, you know, this idea of the emerging church and discussion upon it, I think people are beginning to, you know, stumble upon it in the writings of Eddie Gibbs and Shaped by God's Heart. I'm not sure who wrote that, but about being a missional church. So I think people are beginning to have discussions, but I find that, at least for the circles that I run with, is a lot of these congregations are really small. They're not sure how to engage in the conversation through a broader sense of and bringing more people in. And I think some of them, or I get the sense, when I first approached the emerging church and trying to read up on it, you know, forgive me, I'm sounding blunt, but it sounded a lot of like white guilt in terms of things that they've done wrong and, you know, and you know, how they've done church poorly. And it was very apologetic. And I do agree that I did get a sense that, you know, this wasn't really pragmatic. A lot of it was just kind of venting. And I needed, like, meat and potatoes. And I needed to know what do I bring to my ministry the next day. And I think a lot of the pastors, when we have met, and I think when this conversation comes up, they feel like the emerging church thing is a luxury, you know, to be able to engage, not as a necessity of kind of sitting around talking like, oh, you know, how can we, you know, experience Christ together, and, you know, where they're just kind of more, I think, traditionally, and maybe it's part of the seminary system, developing programs. And I think spiritual formation is beginning to get on the radar of some seminaries. So I think that's a large kind of context of a lot of, at least the pastors that I know, are really busy running programs and not really feeling like there's a luxury of getting involved in this whole emerging church and strategy, which is quite unfortunate. I think there's a lot that can be gained from it.
Probably I should, since it's a bit quiet, maybe I should add that it's exciting to see some things going on in Africa.
Mm.
Like there's an emergent Africa conversation going on. And in, well, for me, so far it's just mainly in Malaysia. I haven't seen anything in the Asian capacity yet. But just going to their website and listening to some of their podcasts, it's just amazing that from a global point of view, they're asking very similar questions. And I'm just wondering whether that's because of globalization or also because we have always been asking these questions, but now there's some platform to allow us to talk about it and to work through it locally as well as globally at the same time. I mean, these are exciting possibilities for me from a more global perspective. Yeah, just throw that in.
So DJ, I'm curious, how do you feel about that in terms of, you know, engaging more Asian Americans in this conversation? I mean, given, you know, what we know is happening within the Asian American church, and how do you see, you know, things shifting, you know, from really being more engaged in some of the possibilities of emerging within the Asian American churches?
What's amazing to see how far we've come just in 2 months. This emergent Skypecast has taken off, and we've got 8 people. Wait, Yeah, we've got 7 people on this call right now. And people have commented on my blog saying they're very interested and they want to listen in. So just a year ago, I felt like I was the only person that was Asian American and interested in emergent stuff, even though I knew there was a handful of others who attended emergent convention in San Diego and Nashville. So just to see another face that looks like me, that doesn't freak out at the name of, Doug Padgett, is progress. And I think there's a similar issue in just theological seminaries, that to have an Asian American say the same things or read the same things, that it's kind of the leading edge of where theological thought is, makes a difference. Just to have an Asian American understand that and participate in that. And we don't necessarily have to bring an entirely different perspective, but just to be a participant shows kind of an incarnational engagement to it. And I'm just very encouraged that we've got some people that are curious about it, willing to explore, willing to learn, and don't feel ostracized or stigmatized for being labeled an Asian American emergent on this Skypecast.
Is that where we do a group hug?
I wish we could. But one of the things I was really curious, I know we don't have much time, but how much do you feel, because I feel like the campus seems to be such a place for a lot of this conversation to happen, and my interactions with a lot of college students right now have been, they're kind of formative in their ideas of what religion and church could be, and I think it's such a great place for catalyst for us to start talking about this. And I suspect, my suspicion is that there are probably a lot of Asian American college students who are very, very interested in our conversation, and what does it look like for them to be involved in this conversation, and what does it look like when they transition back into the world and engaging with their peers and colleagues in this kind of postmodern kind of thought. So I'm really kind of interested in what you see as possibly as an emerging conversation happening on campus to kind of shape what the future of the church will look like.
Yeah, I do see a lot of activity with InterVarsity and even Campus Crusade now. They have a new Asian American national directors,
right.
Tommy Job.
Right.
So it's beginning to happen at an organizational level. I'm looking forward to this next coming weekend when David Park and I will meet Peter Ong face-to-face at a conference that is for college and career, and we'll kind of really explore that first in person. I think the college campus is very much where this kind of thing can start and happen, and it's good to see that the next generation is wanting their church experience to be more meaningful than just programs and Sunday school. Coming up on 2 minutes, closing remarks from anyone and everyone.
Well, this is exciting for me. This is David again. And I just want to say that I think that it's so imperative, just again to reiterate, that we have this discussion, because I think it is part of the, like DJ said, being able to hear other Asian Americans who are wrestling with these issues, I think is absolutely essential, because
and it confirms and affirms that we're on the right
track to addressing real cultural issues and seeing how they apply on the friction of the real road of ministry, and how it applies to our real lives and real ministries. I think that sometimes we have a tendency to sequester ourselves into a very intellectual discussion, but ultimately what we're trying to do is use it in some sort of practicum. So this